today's policy meeting. We're going to get started. Do we, Mr. Baker, do we have a quorum?
We do.
Nice. Before we get started, last meeting, I want to thank Mayor Judge for filling in. I happen to be in Florida. I don't feel too bad about that. I mean, I missed it, and it was terrible, so thank you very much.
He did a great job.
That's what I heard. He said he passed everything. It was great. So thank you again for that. I appreciate it. Rolling right down through the agenda today. It's 317 pages, I think, in your handout, so it shouldn't take more than a day or so. We should be fine. We're going to start with any audience participation. So is there any audience participation today?
We have none today.
Awesome. All right, second on the agenda, attachment 2A is our meeting minutes of February 13, 2025. Motion is required to approve the minutes. Are there any changes or modifications to the meeting minutes that were in your packet for February 13th?
I make a motion we approve the minutes as presented.
Thank you. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the meeting minutes of February 13th, 2025. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next item is going to be our staff reports. Mr. Baker, Attachment 3A, Financial Progress Report.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you can see on Attachment 3A, AMETS has spent about 52% of its budget through February 28th of 2025. We are in very good shape financially, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Baker? Motion will be required to accept the Financial Progress Report.
So moved.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the financial progress report? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next item on the agenda, 3B, technical progress report. Mr. Stewart.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we talked a little in February about what's going on in Washington. We continue to follow that closely. I think some things have kind of calmed down a little bit. As before, our sub-allocated funds like STB, GCRP, CMAQ, TASA, those continue to flow. Projects are still receiving federal authorization without, you know, any unusual delay. Some of the discretionary funding that was paused before is even getting unpaused, so we're moving in a good direction there. Federal transportation funding is authorized until September of 2026, so we'll just have to see, what happens at that point and whether there's a new bill or we do continuing resolution. But things seem to be maybe a little bit less strange than they were a month ago, so we'll continue to watch that closely. On the state side, both the Ohio Senate and House passed the two-year transportation funding bill unanimously, which isn't a very common thing. So $11.5 billion headed to Governor DeWine for his signature. So good shape there. One thing I wanted to mention is the Transportation Review Advisory Council, or the TRAC, that approves the very large-scale projects. Put together a list of projects recommended for funding. So I think there were 26 applications and 14 were recommended for funding, totaling $319 million. And one of those was in Summit County, the I-77 Route 8 project near the Central Interchange. It's actually the third biggest track project that's recommended for funding, $66 million. So that's great news. And just wanted to put in a plug for, maybe some of you are aware of this already, but the Ohio Active Transportation Conference is going to be held at the end of April. And so it's really something, it's hosted by ODOT. It's supposed to be an opportunity for state and local decision makers, transportation professionals. So any of you that are very involved with active transportation could be a really good opportunity to learn about best practices and that sort of thing. As far as actually our staff's progress, so much of what we've been doing over the last couple months has been related to the TIP or the plan. We'll talk about those in a second. So no updates there, and that's all I have, so I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Thank you, Mr. Stewart.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. We're going to move on to item 3C, which is our AMATS Federal Funds Report by Ms. Prater.
Thank you. So here we are, almost to the end of the third quarter of the year. So we've had a couple of projects sell since the last meeting. Currently, we have four remaining projects that are hopefully accepting bids and should encumber soon in STBG. And we did secure a $2.1 million loan. And so hopefully all those projects will go this year. For CRP, we have two projects that are expected to accept their bids, and hopefully those should encumber soon. And one project that has a sale date in April, so hopefully we get good bids on that. For CMAC, we have three projects that are expected to accept their bids and should encumber soon. We have two projects that are federally authorized and are expected to go up for sale in April. We do have a deficit in CMAC currently, but we have been assured that we will be able to cover our projects. So, and in TASA, we have two projects that should be accepting their bids and encumbering that money soon. We have three projects that should encumber this year, but might slip into 2026. And we have one project that has already moved to 2026. So, we have moved all the projects accordingly as they're needed. Any projects that have moved into 2026 will go into the next TIP that we'll be talking about later. Any projects that slip after our final approval of that TIP, which would basically be from May to June, or from beginning of May till July when the TIP is approved, those projects will get amended after the TIP is approved. So, all right, any questions?
Any questions? Hearing none, she's going to stay there and present on attachment 4A for us for the draft transportation improvement program fiscal year 26 to 29.
Thank you. So the next TIP is fiscal year 26 to 29. That would start in July of this year. It's a four-year program that outlines all federally funded transportation projects that includes highways, active transportation projects, and transit projects. It must include performance measurement. It must include air quality standard conformity. It must be fiscally constrained, and it must also include public involvement. So here's a couple examples of some larger projects in our area. I didn't list all of them. Didn't want to waste your time too long. Everything should be in the TIP. If you do notice that your project is not located in the TIP, please contact me immediately. So the Kenmore leg was the first one. South Arlington and Green is expected to be widened and roundabouts added. 43 in Kent is also including a roundabout and signal upgrades and sidewalks. Then we have a couple of active transportation projects. We have one in Chippewa Township that is going to be a trail that's put on an abandoned railroad line. And then the River City Heritage Trail, Phase 3, which would connect to Phase 2, has got construction in 2029. So. And then we also have a couple of transit project examples. We have a metro project that they're replacing two CNG buses with two electric vehicles. And PARDOT is going to be replacing two diesel buses with two new diesel buses that are more efficient. These are our performance measures standards that we need to measure up to. Our air quality, we've analyzed finalized all the projects in the TIP for air quality. This air quality analysis will also be good for the plan as well, and we've met the standards. Fiscal constraint, we are fiscally constrained with the allowable 15% over programming thanks to ODOT. This time they allowed us to over program our MPO funds by 15% overage. That helps with projects that slip, that helps with projects that come in under bid, things of that nature, so that we can put a little bit more in our TIP as a buffer to ourselves, which we just greatly appreciate. And the CMAQ is not fiscally constrained at our local level, but it is controlled at a statewide level. So the statewide CMAQ committee, called OSUC, is in control of those funds.
Sorry, shouldn't be giggling. I apologize. It's the childish nature in me. I'm so sorry.
So we are, according to them, we are fiscally constrained into their parameters at a statewide level. So we don't have to be fiscally constrained locally since it's a statewide program. For public outreach, we are accepting public comments from now until April 11th. Our public involvement started on March 11th and goes through April 11th. Comments can be made at our website. They can be emailed to me directly, which would be actually the preferred. If you have any comments or suggestions, please email me directly. That's probably the easiest. And our policy committee will approve the final draft of the TIP on May 15th. And once it has gone through ODOT and USDOT, the final TIP will be begin used on July 1st, which is the first day of the fiscal year. So, any questions?
All good. Okay, so motion is required to accept the attachment 4A draft transportation improvement program 26 to 29. Do I have a motion?
Poll and move to approve.
We have a first. Do we have a second, please?
Second. Okay.
We have a motion and a second. Any additional discussion? We have a first and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next item on our agenda is going to be attachment 4B. Mr. Stewart's going to present on the draft Transportation Outlook 2050.
All right. Thank you. So we're also requesting a motion to approve our draft long-range plan for the region called Transportation Outlook 2050. You've heard me talk about it at a couple of our recent meetings. So hopefully you've had a chance to check out the document, but I'm just going to give you a very, very quick look through some of the key points. Our goals, which are in Section 2 of the plan, remain the same as last round. And you'll probably kind of recognize that as being philosophically aligned with what you all have told us that our transportation system should be doing. As always, we have all of our needs documents, or sometimes we call them input documents. Those you've seen all of those over the last year or two. A lot of the information from that really gets distilled into the plan and kind of refine it from there. So all of these documents directly contribute to what the composition of our plan's recommendations are. Speaking of recommendations, so for each mode of transportation, we kind of broke it out into these general recommendations. So you see these five recommendations here. Those are, we talk a little about how we want to achieve each of those things, but then we have project-specific recommendations. And what you see, these 47 projects here, these are in addition to like more basic system preservation projects like roadway resurfacing, bridge maintenance, rehab, repair, replacement. I sometimes use the term transformational projects. Some of these are kind of like our larger scale projects. They could be as minor as an intersection improvement, but sometimes they're full scale, $20, $25 million corridor rehabs. On the transit side, we have an additional $2.5 billion that we anticipate to go toward transit over the next 25 years. Much of that focus, and I didn't put the project table up here, but much of that focus has to do with continuing to maintain the system that we have. So PARTA and Metro RTA replacing their buses at the end of their useful service life, making sure that their facilities are up to snuff, those kinds of things. That's where most of that money ends up going. And then finally, on the active transportation side, we have 5 more general goals for that. And then when we look at our projects, our more transformational projects, a lot of those are new shared use paths or new bike trails. Some of them are extensions to existing trails. So a lot of pretty exciting projects on that list. So all of these are in section 6 of the plan. So if you haven't already, check those out. Make sure your projects are on. And again, all of these projects are the result of the meetings that Curtis and Matt and I had at the end of last year with a lot of you, our communities. So hopefully they should match what we've already talked about. Last thing I want to say is just public involvement. Next week we have a couple of open house style meetings. On Wednesday we'll be at the Akron Summit County Public Library at 5:30. And on Thursday, we'll be at the Kent Free Library at 5:30. So if you have people in your circles that are interested in this, if you can help us get the word out there, I'd greatly appreciate it. And, of course, all of you are welcome to come if you really want to geek out on long range. But that, I'll kind of leave it there. Our next steps are, once we get to the end of public involvement, we will be making those changes to our plan based on the comments we receive and also some of the things that we haven't been able to complete yet because, you know, we want to make sure that our project listings are final and things like that. And then we'll be back here in May asking for your approval of the final plan. So, any questions? Okay. Thank you,
Mr. Stewart. Appreciate it. There is a motion on the draft Transportation Outlook 2025 program required. Could I have a motion to accept, please?
So moved.
I have a motion to accept. Do we have a second, please?
I'll second. Bashira Rittman.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any additional discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Appreciate it. Item 5 is new business. I'm not sure. Do we have new business?
We have no new business.
No new business. And Amy is up and ready to go. So we're going to go right into 6A Resolution 2025-04, which is approving Amendment 12 to the Fiscal Year 24-27 Transportation Improvement Program to delete 3 projects. Ms. Baker.
So our current TIP, we currently have these 3 projects that were in our current TIP. We are deleting them from this TIP. We actually moved these 3 projects for fiscal constraint. So our current TIP is 24 to 27. These 3 projects were in 27. We are moving them out because they will also be in the next TIP. And due to fiscal constraint, we were not able to keep these in the next TIP and maintain our fiscal constraint. So we did delete these 3 projects from this TIP. The first 2, 1 and 2, are actually not going to be in the next TIP either. We moved those out to 2030. These 2 projects we thought were the easiest to move. Currently, the status is not known. So we moved these out. If funding became available and these projects started to move again, hopefully we could move these back up and pull them into the TIP for amendment. The last project we did move, it's still going to be in the TIP. We just moved it to a fiscal year so that we could maintain fiscal constraint 5-year by program. Does anyone have any questions?
Hearing no questions, a motion's required to approve Resolution 2025-04. Do we have a motion to approve, please?
Motion, Sheridan.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Hold on a second.
Thank you, Jim. We have a motion and a second to approve Resolution 2024-04. Any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye, please.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Next on the agenda is the presentation on Access Ohio 2050 updates by Mr. Randy Lane, ODOT Statewide Planning Manager. Mr. Lane.
And Mr. Chairman, if I may. So, and Randy, you can head up. So Randy Lane works with Central Office ODOT. He is in charge of doing the Access Ohio, which is basically like the state's version of what we just approved in draft form. So the state is interested in getting feedback from our locals, making sure that we're aware of the state planning process for some of these projects in the future. And so Randy asked if he could give you guys or give us a short presentation, and I thought it would be beneficial to all of you. So with that, Randy, thanks for coming, and you know, take it away.
Thank you, Curtis. Thank you to the NYAC.
Whoa.
Randy, start over. Here we go.
I need to explain it. I spent 10 years talking to the NOACO board of directors as a member there, so thank you.
Can we have your money?
Policy committee for welcoming today, and Chairperson Jenkins and the rest of the members today. Thank you, Curtis, for introducing myself. Randy Lane, Statewide Planning Manager with ODOT Statewide Planning and Research Office. Access Ohio is our statewide long-range transportation plan, much like the Outlook 2050 plan you just approved or recommended for future approval. That's what we're conducting at the statewide level. Now, our mandates are a little bit differently than the regional MPOs, but you'll find this is going to look more like a regional long-range transportation plan than it will a traditional state plan. And much like the AMATS plans and the family of plans that kind of provide input and serve to inform the larger long-range plan, we do the same, right? So we've got a family of plans, like we call them. They're typically modally organized or organized around a specific system or operation of that system, ranging from public transit, public transportation, active transportation, trucking, highway, freight, so on, by mode, and then by kind of category of what we care about, right? Like TISMO, for example, across our system, and safety across our system, and all modes, really. Since 1991, we had the Intermodal Surface Transportation Efficiency Act in 1991, which really strengthened the planning requirements, not just for MPOs, but for ODOT alike, and mandated that we create a plan. Now, we don't have to create one every 4 years. It doesn't tell us a time frame, but we do have to create a plan. We have to keep it current. And we do this about every 4 to 5 years. You'll see in earlier years, it was more along the lines of every 10 years, 8 years. And most of the plans we've completed since 1993, since our first plan, have all been policy-based, kind of macro-level, high-level plans, right? Discussing needs on the system, discussing specific features of the system, looking at traditional transportation impact criteria, but never really kind of got into really determining what projects we want to do, right? That kind of got left to the programs. And in 1997, you're all familiar with, and I thought I heard mentioned earlier, to the Transportation Review Advisory Council. That happened in 97. Moving into 04, we saw this big increase in capacity and looking at macro analysis and from a major improvements perspective. But all in all, we really haven't introduced a project-based plan to the statewide transportation plan development process. And that's changing with Access Ohio 2050. So this is our plan also through 2050, much like the AMATS planning horizon. And it's going to kind of emphasize this plan to program to project approach, where the plan will serve to introduce performance metrics. It will serve to introduce what's important to us from a goal environment. It will determine what system that we want the plan to focus on in future performance planning and project planning against. It'll also introduce scenarios which are going to be really important to the regions, because they're going to be very much regionally focused, not just highways and intermodal facilities that are important from a statewide perspective, but we want to understand and recognize the systems that are maintained intra-regionally to be able to help plan for those, and more importantly, partner with regional planning agencies like AMATS
in planning for those systems. And one of the first steps we did to make sure we were kind of heading in the right direction is we looked at all of the 17 Metropolitan Planning Organization plans. We looked at all 6 Rural Transportation Planning Organization plans. We looked at all of our internal plans. And what we found is these 4 things resonated in all of your goals, all the regional goals and agency goals. And so this is where we're focusing our attention. These are going to be the new Access Ohio goals. And very specifically, safety, preservation, efficiency and reliability, mobility and accessibility. Those hit across as those percentages you'll see very much aligned with a lot of our regional planning partners and other statewide plans that we analyzed as part of this specific initial plan integration task. And this kind of highlights that. We looked at over 50 plans statewide, plans we own, plans we don't own, plans that our regional partners are looking at, and we extracted what's important or what we think, we'll see when we come out and do stakeholder engagement and public engagement, what we think was important in terms of elevating themes, key goals, performance metrics, things like that across all of the different plans. System identification, if any of you were around and remember our Access Ohio 2045 or 2040 plan in 2013, we introduced what we called the Strategic Transportation System. And it was the system at the time that we felt was the backbone of transportation across all modes in the state of Ohio. And we're bringing that back. It's kind of largely been forgotten over the last 12, 13 years. But we're bringing that back because it needs to serve as a foundation for how we're going to measure progress and identify targets and allocate resources to move projects forward and push the needle on things. We're also going to introduce something we're called the Regional Transportation Strategic Transportation System, which I've got a specific slide for, but trying to get our arms around what's important at the regional level as well. We're going to conduct a traditional existing conditions, future trends, future performance analysis, looking specifically at how our system's performing, how it's expected to perform in light of some of the same things you look at from a modeling perspective, population growth, jobs growth, economic development opportunities that we know about, and how it's going to kind of shift demand and shift where folks are moving across the system over the next 25 years. And then system investments. We're going to get a 10-year capital improvement plan on the ODOT side, right? So this is going to focus specifically on that ODOT STS, or that Strategic Transportation System. But we're also going to have a 20-year long-range trends, vision, needs analysis. It's not going to be specific projects, right? So it's not going to be widened from A to B in the city of here. It's going to be more corridor analysis. Here's what's popping up along this corridor from here to here, safety, congestion issues, potentially, active transportation connections, connections to public transportation. All of those things from a needs perspective will be the focus of that final 10 years. Again, I kind of talked about the STS. That's kind of the system of importance from an interstate or interregional or routes of national and statewide perspective. The regional SRSTS, critical to intra-regional and intermodal connectors. And we're going to get your opinions on this at upcoming stakeholder meetings, or we hope to get your opinions on this in terms of how we've classified those networks. And again, they're going to serve as the basis for performance management. They're going to inform where we think we need to put our dollars to help push the needle on both that 10-year and then partnerships with MPOs and other agencies on long-term investment decisions inside regions. And just to kind of give you a glimpse, this is kind of spaghetti right now to you, but it's identifying all of those key systems that we talked about. And highways, STS represents the interstate NHS. The RSTS represents the non-interstate NHS, which is typically locally owned by cities, primarily cities within the urbanized areas. Active transportation routes, which consists of our state and U.S. bike network, on the STS level, and then the RSTS level data that AMAT's provided us in terms of what those regional connections are from a bike ped perspective that either provide access within or direct access to that US and bike route system. Transit facilities, and that's by frequency in terms of identified high frequency and mid frequency transit stops, you'll see as the blue dots on there. And then we've got freight rail. I don't think you guys... Oh, no, you have freight rail. You don't have... obviously.
Yeah, that's in, is it in the Ravenna Arsenal area? That's that big area between...
I'm seeing a glare.
Because I just asked Curtis what that was. It's in the middle part of Portage County on the right-hand side.
Oh, that blue dot?
No,
the big area in between the turnpike.
Oh, the green area. So that green area would be part of... It's part of the freight rail system.
He's got good eyes. He saw that. Yeah. I couldn't see it. Sorry about that.
You wouldn't think so, because it kind of looks like a spaghetti there, and there must be a lot happening
there.
Well,
it's weird, though, because it's the arsenal.
Yeah.
You know, the old arsenal. Okay. So,
federal government.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so rail is interesting. We don't have an RSTS for rail. That's the one mode we don't have a regional designation. And in talking with our Ohio Rail Development Commission, they didn't want that. They think everything feeds into the Class 1s and Class 2s, so they didn't want to distinguish between regional and statewide significance of importance. So you'll see that it's all classified as our STS. Something else we've done to date, and by the way, we're just kind of getting going on some of our initial tasks. We've done the plan integration task. We've identified some of the strategic systems. Something else we did was we developed and conducted or had a consultant conduct a statistically valid transportation preference survey. And we do this every 4 years. This is the third in the last, 12 years now that we've done this same survey. We've introduced a couple new questions, but I thought I'd just share, you know, some tidbits from a statewide perspective, some factoids that we've developed. And then maybe, you know, what we heard from specific folks that responded to the survey within the AMATS area. And mostly what you'll see is it's pretty consistent, and we're kind of seeing that in the urban areas compared with the statewide survey, except when you get to a couple questions that relate to specific neighborhood-type connectivity and safety issues. But, of course, Ohioans want more travel options. It's something unique, and I hesitate to say this because we kind of get beat up sometimes if there's some folks who are really passionate about active transportation, but... You know, 18 to 34, you know, were the typical kind of age groups that prioritize active transportation. And somewhere around the 35 age, right, I don't know if it's having families or if it's moving out to the burbs or whatnot, but they tend to value more highway improvements after that kind of age classification. So we found that really, really interesting. I'm not surprised by that, but there are some folks who have been surprised at that. And what we heard in the AMATS region was pretty similar. Preserving the existing highway is critical. 97% statewide feel it's of importance, and 96% in the AMATS region. So that's give or take, you know, margins of errors. It's pretty consistent. And of course, safety. Safety is a top priority. 95%, 94% for the AMATS region as well. Congestion on highways, streets, and county roads is a frequent challenge. And 90% value improvements to reduce traffic, 29% statewide experience congestion on city streets, and that's down for the AMATS region. So only 24% responded that they experienced congestion on city streets and county roads during their daily commute, which I think is kudos to what y'all have done here to make your system improvements. Freight reliability networks power Ohio's economy. 93% feel it's important statewide, about the same for AMATS. More than a third of the respondents face dangerous travel conditions near their homes, and 37% encounter high-speed traffic within 1 mile of their homes was the statewide trend. And those are up for AMATS. I thought notably 41% feel they lack sidewalks. And again, this is safe from walking close to home. And 38% say that they encounter high-speed traffic, which really is a 1%. But for these specific questions, we did have an arrow of green, red, or orange being, or yellow being consistent. Statewide trends also for safe walking and bike paths needed, especially for those that rely on them more. That's consistent with the statewide trend. And then Ohioans support public transit investments in cities and rural areas. 82% statewide felt it was important. About the same, 79% for the AMATS region felt it was important. And then the last kind of factoid that we wanted to share is Ohioans want transportation investments that generate multiple benefits. 90% when you're specifically speaking about promoting economic development, enhancing quality of life, those were slightly up or consistent in the AMETS region as well. So just some interesting things that we wanted to share. I will share the link to the dashboard for this transportation preference survey with Curtis and the team here, and Curtis, you can forward it on. And it's a public-facing dashboard where you can look at all the questions. You can drill down to the county level to see how folks responded. And it's just a really, really interesting to see how those preferences kind of exist and shake out depending on statewide versus regional analysis. Upcoming MPO stakeholder meetings, why I'm here is to kind of get you excited about this. We've traditionally found that we don't get a lot of communities that attend our meetings, and so we're here to talk to you. We're talking with all 8 MPOs across the state of Ohio that are the large MPOs, and trying to give you enough information where you see a flyer or you see our names tagged or something, it'll resonate with what I'm talking about here today. But we will be in Akron. We'll be here in this building on May 21st for our first series of public and stakeholder engagements. The stakeholder engagement will run from 1 to 3 p.m. that day, and then the public engagement will run from 5 p.m. to 6:30 that day. And I'll share a save the date with the team here at AMATS as well. Overall, our schedule is pretty aggressive. We hope to be done by this December. Knock on wood somewhere. I don't have wood in front of me here, but we're working very aggressively towards that. And again, the first May series of meetings will be first, and then we'll come back in October, let you know what we've learned, let you know how we're taking your input and incorporating into the plans, specifically into recommendations and specific items or deliverables for review. So with that, if there's any questions, I'd be happy to entertain them. And if you, we do have a website stood up, the QR code can be scanned. As we work to develop working papers and technical reports and products, we do put them all out on our website for review and public consumption. So just want to thank you for your time. Sorry for slipping earlier.
You did a great job. We'll let Nalaka go. It's all good.
Thank you very much,
Mr. Lane. I really appreciate it. All right, guys. We're getting down to wrapping it up. We've got our next regular meeting appears as Thursday, May 15th, 2025, at 1:30 here in the basement. And
O.Community Room.
I'll work on that. So I'll see you guys. Do we have a motion to adjourn the O.Community Room? Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor until next time, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. See you next month in the basement.
2 months.
Yeah.
Two months.
I just want to thank everybody. I know it's a new location, but I really appreciate everyone attending and giving the time. So
it's
thank
very,
you
very nice space, Chad. Thanks a lot.